Welcome to Brad Golf Podcast, a podcast for the average golfer. My name is Dermot Bradfield and golf is in my blood. Join me as I fumble my way around this fascinating sport. Welcome back to Brad Golf. It's the 8th of July. I'm joined again by the mighty Nigel Cosgrave from trickydogleg.com, who's going to bring us through the picks for the upcoming weekend in the Workday Charity Open. We'll also recap a little bit on the Rocket Mortgage Classic, these picks from last week. A few things to talk about locally as well, and a bit of Gavin Watch. Yeah. So straight into it, Nigel. Last week was a break-even week, is about the best way of putting it. Chris Kirk gave us some fun and some good value to start with, didn't he?
He definitely gave us a run. I felt very good on Friday night. He was joint leader. It turned out to be just like Phil Mickelson the previous week. He flattered to deceive somewhat. He was pretty good on Saturday. He was kind of holding himself together, but Sunday was a big disappointment. He fell away. He did give us a bit of a run, raised the heart rate somewhat. But in the end, it was Adam Hadwin who ran on from the back to claim us some each-way money to cover the rest of the guys. So it wasn't a bad week.
Yeah, that was great. And that brought home, for me anyway, it made a break-even week for me, which was great. Again, on Saturday morning when I was down at the golf club, again, a lot of comments from people going, what is this Nigel guy on? Like, yet again, he's got a leader in the field going into the weekend. You know, there's a lot of praise there for good, solid picks. You know, sometimes it just doesn't work out for a guy, and in Chris Kirk's case there. So the only talking point really in golf at the moment, and in particular in the US, is the whole Bryson DeChambeau situation. So he obviously had a good win. He ran away from the field. Very weak field. But a lot of the view in the US and also here in Ireland as well, and in the press and beyond, is that he's changing the face of golf, that he's breaking golf. These kind of comments are out there. And my own view, and I'll seek out yours as well, but my own view is that this is a bit of an overreaction. You know, he's won one competition in the last, you know, since we've come back, which is great, but he won it with a weak field. Yes, his form over the last, since we've come back, has been immense. I think he's around 20 shots ahead of the next guy in combined scores over the last couple of weeks, which is exceptional and, you know, all credit to the guy. But I'm not sure I can judge in the short period of time that we've been back that he's changing the face of golf, or he has changed golf, or he is now someone who's going to be winning majors. I don't see it yet, but unbelievable driving. I mean, when he's hitting that ball and the accuracy.
That's incredible.
It's incredible. So what's your view? Do you think he's changing golf? Do you think that golf as we know it is about to change on the basis of what he's doing?
I tend to agree with you because there's a little bit of a freak show kind of element to it. Constantly talk about the diet, how he's bulked himself up. Now, you assume that he's done it all legally and that this is all and the natural way to bulk up by drinking 6 protein shakes a day and having raw bacon for 3 meals a day or whatever it is.
You have 2 shakes every 6 holes. Like, 2 shakes every 6 holes.
Listen, the results are there. He won in style this week, as I said, against a relatively weak field. But he certainly, you know, dominated the event. Some of the drives, especially off the first tee on Sunday, was just incredible. He nearly drove the green in the 397-yard par 4. He can't say that he's going to break golf or revolutionize golf quite yet by just winning the Rocket Mortgage Classic. I mean, no offense to the tournament, but it's not a major. Unless if he wins the Masters in November,
I think that'll
be a statement. Or any of the other majors, if he wins the US Open or the PGA, that will be definitely a bigger statement. But not at the moment. He's definitely playing the best golf. Some people have said that he's practically the number one player in the world at the moment. Definitely in the 4 tournaments since we came back, that he's definitely leading the scoring averages. I just think it's a little early. And if he is changing the face of golf, I hope he is a little nicer along the way. Some of his comments to the cameraman on the near the bunker on the 10th hole on Saturday leave a lot to be desired. The cameraman was only filming him, and he seemed to attack him and say that he's hurting his brand, and continued on about it in an interview after the round and on social media. Bryson is still Bryson under all that extra weight.
Yeah, big time. And was it 2 minutes I think he was clocked at for that eagle putt?
Yeah, he's still very slow. I mean, he's quickened up a lot of it, his play, but he's still, at certain moments, he's dog slow on the greens. Yeah. A lot of the reason why he may have quickened up is because he's hitting the ball so far, he's always last to play.
Yeah.
You know, he can be ready in time.
And as he says himself, he's very fast walking. He's very fast walking between shots, as he says.
Yeah. While he drinks and shakes.
So you averaged in, Nigel, in the par fours, just under 110 yards into the par fours. I mean, he's flopping in gap wedges into these par fours. It's
ridiculous. Yeah, it is ridiculous. And of course, like last week's Detroit, it was there for the taking for him, because it was spacious enough around each of the holes that if he did let go of one of his drives, it wasn't going to go out of bounds or into water. It was just probably going to end up on another hole where he would still have a shot.
Yeah.
So that course is kind of tailor-made to his new approach, and he took advantage. One thing that needs to be said is he led the stats in strokes gained putting. So that's also to be commended on his side, that he is putting unbelievably as well. So, and really, that's how most tournaments are won. If you look at the stats for most of the winners, they nearly always lead the putting stats. So that's something that needs to be taken into consideration. When Tiger was at his peak, no one was a better putter than him.
An excellent point. Yeah, he wasn't just out there smashing the ball off the tee. He was putting number one in the field. Yeah, so
that is. Yeah.
Good day for Irish golf as well, for Irish golfers, Seamus Power. Well, good weekend for Seamus. Tied 12th. He comes home with $131,000 there. Nice payday and an important result for him. You know, hopefully that will get him a few more days out this year.
Yeah, it was a welcome result for Seamus. Very impressed. He was a very high price, 40 off, around 500-1 or something like that. And no one really rated his chances because he's been a bit in the doldrums recently. But he's got some serious game, and he hits the ball a long way as well. His own driving stats are well over 300. I think it's heading towards 320. And he first two rounds, he was brilliant. Just Sunday, he missed a lot of short putts, and it was a little bit of a shame he couldn't get into the top 10.
Yeah. Moving on then from the Rocket Mortgage Classic. So in local view, well, I have local news in the past, but this week it's more of a local view. We're back to competitive golf, obviously, since the 29th, and competitions are starting to roll in now, I'm sure, around the country. People are in qualifiers and medals and all sorts of events. And this weekend just gone was a pretty windy one out there, Nigel. I'm sure you experienced it. I found it an extreme challenge with the flags in. So at the moment in our own golf club, it's flags in and upside down holes. And I'm sure lots of clubs are doing something similar to that, with flags in and some form of a bit of plastic in the hole or something. But with the wind blowing, as it often does in Ireland, and particularly clubs around the coastline, it's very, very windy. That makes it very challenging, particularly in the short putts, when you have a flag that might be blowing in your face, or where you have a flag leaning towards you and you actually, in the putt, you need to miss the flag to hold the putt. That's my first issue, is the wind and the flags. The second issue is with these upside down holes, the whole dynamics, or the whole, infrastructure is very different than what it used to be. That there's more space between the ground and the hole, which leads to holes collapsing, where the lips of these holes actually, you know, kind of become soft, and the putts don't drop in the way that they would normally drop. So maybe I'm nitpicking here, and maybe I'm missing the bigger picture with COVID and so on, but it's, at the moment, it's becoming quite frustrating for me, that you're actually good shots not being rewarded, and putts are becoming really challenging. Some of my partners that I play with say it's becoming really difficult. They can't aim for the flag. They're trying to get it in the side of the hole. So I'm not really happy with that current state. I think it's something that the GUI going to need to look at. We need some solutions in this space, I think. What do you reckon? Is it time for change here?
Yeah, I tend to agree, because at the moment, as you said, putting with the flag in is distracting, and it's even more distracting when the wind is blowing a gale and it's moving all over the place, and you know you're trying to put in between gusts. And I've seen the holes, like you said, almost collapse, and they're not completely circular. They're damaged. It's a real problem, and I don't want to kind of, you know, trivialize what's going on in the world at the moment, but I'm not sure that the taking in and taking out of the pin is a massive risk. I'm not sure what the evidence of COVID living on the surface of a, you know, a pin is going to, or how long it's going to actually survive on the surface of a pin is really demonstrable at the moment. I just don't get it. Yeah. I think we should be able to take it in and take it out. We could have one designated person to do that in the group, and they could use a wipe in their hand while they do it. That seems to be what they're doing on the PGA Tour, because putting with the flag out is what most people do. There's no advantage to having it in, really. They've already shown that statistically. And I'm not really sure how much it decreases the risks of getting COVID.
Yeah.
But, you know, that might be a little controversial.
Well, we love a bit of controversy on Brad Golf, that's for sure. And yeah, there'll be people who say, come on, guys, there's bigger issues here at hand. And that's fair enough, too. And that's a very valid view. But I think from a purely...
I think the GUI could change it. And I don't think there would be much resistance to it.
I agree there. And finally then, moving on from flags in, flags out, and hopefully we'll see some movement on that in the coming weeks from the GUI. Next, it's into our new segment from last week, but continuing it on with Gavin Watch. So European Tour is back at the Austrian Open this weekend, and old Gavin Moynihan is in action here. We've a couple of other Irish players and Irish interest, with Niall Kearney from Royal Dublin, Robin Dawson from Port Marnock Hotel and Lynx, and Paul McBride from just over the road from ourselves there in the island. For Gavin, it's a big return, and I see he was down in Tralee during the week practicing. He has been touring around peninsula there of Donabate, playing in all of the courses, including our own, getting some practice in, and he seems to be hitting the ball quite well. Exciting weekend ahead with the European Tour coming back.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's not really a massive event such. It's mainly comprised of the Challenge Tour players. I didn't realise that Paul McBride had actually snuck into the field, and good to see that he's getting chances. And I hope all the Irish players go well this week. I think the European Tour have kind of had a very kind of pragmatic approach to this. I know Austria has been kind of led the way and kind of contact tracing and testing for COVID in Europe. And it's why the two events are going to be there this week and next week. And it's why the likes of Formula One are there 2 weeks in a row, because the Austrian government seem to have a handle on the situation. So I hope it works well for them.
Yeah. Well, we'll be keeping Gavin Watch alive this weekend anyway, and hopefully he can remain in contention there over the weekend. Moving on then to the Workday Charity Open. So this is a one-time event, really, a one-time replacement for the John Deere Classic. Been played at the other Dublin, so unfortunately not our own Dublin, but over in Ohio at Muirfield Village. Short trip down from Detroit where they were last week. Similar length course to Detroit in the par 72, 7,392 yards, 7,392 yards. And we've a little bit of Irish interest in the field with Shane Lowry and Graham McDowell in action. What do you think?
Well, it's Muirfield Village is commonly referred to as Jack's Place. It was one of the first courses he designed. He actually owns it now. And this week is going to be the first of 2 weeks where the course is going to host an event. Now, obviously, as you said, the Workday Charity Open is a replacement for the John Deere, which couldn't take place in, because it's in Illinois, and Illinois is quite restricted on the amount of people that can congregate. So they've put back-to-back tournaments in Muirfield. And this is a good idea to have something on like this before we have the main tournament, which is the Memorial, which just happens every year and is kind of referred to as Jack's tournament as well. Mm-hmm. So this week, we have a good field, better field than last week. Some of the top players, the likes of Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, Hideki. Hideki Matsuyama is actually our headline selection for this week. Uh-huh. He's currently 14-1, 3 points each way. He went quite well last week in the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit. He had a very good third round that brought him back into the tournament. Kind of faded a bit on Sunday. But one of the main reasons I've been going for him, and it'll be a common theme with the other selections, is that they all have form from previous editions of the Memorial Tournament, which is at Muirfield Village. Hideki is the former winner of that from 2014. He's also gone well on other occasions. So I think he's a guy that's hungry to get his game back together. His putting is still letting him down at times, but he showed signs that he's got that under control last week at Detroit. I think he's probably of the players at the top of the market, including Cantlay and Xander amongst them. I think he's probably the best option.
Great. Yeah, he's third favorite. So it's a good call. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. So 3 points each way, 14-1 for Hideki. Next selection, and this is probably going to sound like I'm picking all the players who were great in 2014 or 2015, but it's Ricky Fowler, 28-1, 1.7 points each way. Again, Ricky has been a little bit in the doldrums of late. He's working on new things with a new coach, but it seems to be coming together and his swing seems to be slotting into place. He had a good round on Sunday in Detroit. His game is slowly but surely coming back together. He loves playing in Muirfield. He's been runner-up there twice. And I think he can go well this week. It's the value, the price is probably, you know, fair enough. I would like to see him at slightly bigger. But I think, again, he's a guy who wants to turn his game around. And I think a game this week in Muirfield Village will be just a treat. Next selection is, again, the guy who has been, you know, good in the past at Muirfield Village. He's had a third place there. It's Bubba Watson, 66-1, 1 point each way. Now, Bubba is coming off missed cuts, and his game was probably... It looked good after the pandemic break. He was seventh at Colonial. He seems to have gone a bit awry. I think this week is going to suit his style of play. It should be soft as well, so he'll be able to go for shots. And I just think he had a charity event last week on Wednesday that made distract him or cause him to lose focus for last week's tournament. So I think he's going to be a bit more tuned in this week. And at 66-1, I think he's a good value. Next selection is Emiliano Grillo, 100-1, 0.75 point each way. Grillo is a guy who's had four runouts at Muirfield before. And last year he was tied ninth. He's in the tied 11th here in 2016. His form since the pandemic break has been average to solid, nothing spectacular, but I think 100-1 is a little on the juicy side. So he's worth a play, I think, this week. Patrick Rogers is the next selection. Again, a guy who likes playing in Muirfield. He's had good finishes here before. His form is also a little patchy since the break. He was just outside the top 10 at Colonial. He's been a little bit quiet since then, but 125-1 is again, a price that doesn't reflect his true value and his true ability. So half a point each way there. And to round out the selection, I'm going for the man with the mullet, Pat Perez, at 175-1. This is a selection not based on a lot of current form. He's been a little bit up and down. But again, he's a guy who likes playing in midfield, and is a guy who's looking to find something in his game to revitalize the season. The season is going to be curtailed now with the FedEx playoffs coming up very quickly in at the end of August. So he needs to get his act together on that front. So I think he'll go well this week. So that's the six selections.
Excellent. So just to round through them again, it's Hideki Matsuyama, 14-1 each way. Ricky, 28-1 each way. Bubba, 66-1. Emiliano Grillo, 100-1. Patrick Rogers at 125-1. Taking a little bit of a punt with Pat Perez, but I think it's an interesting one at 175-1. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. And if you want to check out more details on these selections, you can go to trickydogleg.com and you'll see all the selections there for both this and the Austrian Open. The Austrian Open is back this week and I have a couple of selections. Well, more than a couple. So my first one is a guy called Antoine Rosner, French player. He's at 33-1. And I'm going to go a point and a half each way on him. This guy has had a very good season and is pretty much his rookie season on the European Tour. He was twice a winner in the Challenge Tour last year, graduated to the main tour, and was just missed out in the Mauritius Open playoff with Hogard. And I think he's poised to go very well this week. There's another guy, Rickard Kahlberg, who was playing well at the end of last season. Hasn't really had a chance to get going because of the COVID break, but he's had good form in Austria before, and at 40-1, I think 1.25 points each way is a good bet. Another young gun on the European Tour is a guy who's only 19 or 20, he's a guy called Nikolai Højgaard. His brother beat Rosner in the playoff early in the year, but this guy could be even better than his brother. He's 50-1, a point each way, and I think he could be one for the future. And going back to Gavin Watch, our outsider is Mr. Moynihan. He's 100-1, 0.75 points each way. This is not just a national or local biased pick. I think the fact that he shot 58 in Corbless, what we know from his own practice around Donabate, I think his game seems to be really dialed in at the moment, certainly from a wedges point of view. This is the sort of level where he can really excel. It's not quite full European Tour level. It's mainly a Challenge Tour event. He's done well in the Challenge Tour before. I think he is a player that's kind of stuck between tours in a way. The Challenge Tour is probably, you know, too small for him, but he still hasn't matured to really contend regularly on the European Tour. But I think this week, the blend of the two tours will be just what he needs. And I think 100-1 is probably a little overpriced.
We'll definitely be putting a few bob.
So there you go.
Gavin. So yeah, so excellent. So just to run through, that's Antoine Rosner, 33-1, Rickard Kahlberg, 40-1, and Nikolai Højgaard at 50-1, and Gavin Watch at 100-1. Super.
And if anyone wants to do what I will refer to on Tricky Dogleg as the transatlantic double, you could pick one from both the Workday Charity Open and the Austrian Open and do an each way double on them. So you could take Hideki and Antoine Rosner and double them up each way. Maybe you put a point each way and you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. Hideki Antoine double. I like the sound of that one. Super. Okay, well, Nigel, thanks a million for your time again this week. Plenty of golf this weekend now with the Austrian Open and with the Workday Charity Open. So it feels like golf is really back when you have both tours in action again. Plenty of TV time. Are you playing this weekend yourself?
I am indeed. I'll see you down there for the medal on Saturday.
So the medal Saturday, and on Sunday it's just a two-man team. What about match play? What match play are you in at this stage?
Will we qualify for the four-ball match play? myself.
You more than qualified. You nearly won the leading qualifier, if I heard.
Yeah, that. We dovetail well. Dara started excellently. He was carrying the team for the front line for most of the round, really. He birdied the first two holes, and then on the back nine, I birdied two of birdied the par 3 13th, and I birdied, I birdied the tennis court hole.
Yeah.
A couple of short putts missed, though. We just missed out in leading qualifier, but we're in the hunt.
And that's the main thing. Qualifying is the main thing, yeah. Very good. That's your match play take. Are you in the foursomes?
In the foursomes with Marching. When's the draw being made?
That should be pretty soon, I would imagine. I'm trying to figure out when the deadline was for entries, but I think the deadline was around now, so I'd say the draw could be out any moment now.
Very good.
Yeah, so it's great to be back with a bit of competitive match play as well. It's all set for a semi-final between ourselves and yourselves. A bit of work to get there. A couple of rounds maybe to get there, but we're on the same side of the draw. So, yeah.
We could do a Twitter live or Instagram live of that match.
Well, definitely. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Right, well, look, enjoy your golf this weekend. Hopefully it's not as windy as last weekend, although it didn't seem to affect you in qualifying. And yeah, we'll see you down there. Thanks again for your time, and we'll talk to you soon, Nigel.
Cheers, man. Good luck.
So just to confirm, this podcast is not sponsored in any way. All views expressed in this podcast are my own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever with which I have been, am now, or will be affiliated. Please do subscribe to the podcast, Brad Golf TV. You'll find me on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Google, etc., etc. Please follow, like, retweet, and share on social media. It's Brad Golf TV on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. On Facebook, you'll find me at bradgolf.ie. And you can also drop me an email at bradgolftv@gmail.com. Looking forward to hearing from you in the weeks and months ahead. You've been listening to Brad Golf Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Please do come back soon and join me for another round.